This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, niche influencer drama, and TikTok trends so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
Except for today.
Not today.
Because in honor of the new year 2025, mm-hmm. we made it barely. Mm-hmm. We will be taking a look back at the most viral memes from every month
yes.
in 2024. You know, we have 90 minutes to get through all of these memes.
Yes.
And we will have 5 minutes on the clock for each month.
Yep. Yep.
5 times 12 is 60.
You know what?
But let's you know, dive
that's
in.
True. Yes. This isn't a math podcast. And we've actually said many times that this is not a math podcast.
So anti-murder.
Anti-murder, not math.
No math, not a science.
ADHD.
Pro ADHD.
I'm literally dividing. Okay, we have 7.5 minutes.
Yeah.
On the clock for every meme.
I was like, oh, she's accounting for 30 minutes up to...
I think in my mind I was like accounting for an intro, but that's far too long.
No, a 30 minute intro.
Listen, anyway, well, new year, new studio.
Hello, we're in my friend's basement,
and we're gonna be we're pivoting to video in 2025.
You know what? Make America Great Again is just like Facebook 2016.
Yeah, we're pivoting back. We're pivoting to video. And we are breaking down all these memes. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, you're listening to it on New Year's Day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's.
I hope you get everything that you want in the new year.
I hope
more.
This year is better for me and you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we can go up.
Yeah, we can certainly improve. We could go up, please.
please
don't
God.
Get worse.
Please,
I can't
God.
Handle it. Speaking of getting worse.
Okay.
Let's start 2024 out
January.
Strong.
Oh my God. So we're a year. I'm putting myself back
Put
in the headspace
back
of
the
one year ago.
What were we doing?
What were we doing?
2024 came off strong with Club Shay Shay, which is hosted by Shannon Sharp,
yep.
ex-football player. Don't tell me what position he played because I don't know.
Not a football podcast either.
Current commentator, he's very famous. In 2024, Shannon Sharp also was Grasshole this year, if you
wow,
remember.
Wow, yes. Oh my God, because he live streamed himself having
Him
sex.
He live streamed himself having sex course, with his course. Phone turned up, and he said that he like accidentally did it, but right. it
and
was.
And then he sold merch.
And then he sold merch of the. It wasn't that he accidentally live streamed himself having sex.
It was the merch that
it
made
was
him
the
grasshole.
Merch that made him Grasshole, but before he was Grasshole. Before we knew what was to come in 2024, we started hot because Shannon Sharp went super viral at the beginning of the year with his 2-hour and 46-minute interview with comedian Cat Williams.
I remember it well.
You remember it well. In the interview, Cat Williams did a no-hold-barreds thing. He went fucking ham.
He went off.
He talked shit about Kanye West, Cedric the Entertainer, Steve Harvey. Later in the year, Steve Harvey did threaten to beat up Cat Williams. That was funny.
I'd watch that on TikTok Live. So unfortunately, as the day you're watching this, we have 18 days left
18
of TikTok.
Days on TikTok
unless
yes.
something has happened.
You could watch right now. You could watch Cat Williams get beat up by a 14-year-old kid on YouTube. That video does exist. In Cat Williams' defense, the kid is huge.
Cat Williams is small.
So size-related thing. So he talked about Cedric the Entertainer, Steve Harvey, Diddy, which is a lot. People said he was the prophecy.
He said
shit about Diddy. He said shit about Kevin Hart, Jonathan Majors, and Tyler Perry, among others. The entire 2-hour and 46-minute video was viewed 85 million times.
I was one of those views.
You're one of those views.
I watched it.
This is what Shannon Sharp said about it. Everyone was talking about how much money I made during the Cat Williams interview, Sharp said during a chat with his Nightcap Sports Chat podcast co-host and former fellow player Chad Ochocinco Johnson. He said, I just got the check and whatever you think I made, times that by three.
Damn.
So if you think I made 500 million, no, 500,000, times that by three. If you think I made a million, times that by three. If you think I made 2 million, it's like,
that can't possibly be true, but yeah. I get what he's trying to communicate.
He said, what the simpler way he said, he was like, I made more money on the Cat Williams interview alone than I made in any year that I played the NFL. And I'm just thinking, that's fucking crazy. But that's, I'm thinking, crazy. If you have a 2-hour and 46-minute interview, that's a fuck ton of ads, yeah. And 85 million people are watching it. 85 million people, I think that's just shy under the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all this is making me think is like, I'm just so excited we're pivoting to video. Yeah, we're pivoting to video.
I can't wait for this podcast to get 85 million.
Whatever you think we made on this episode,
times that by three.
Zero times three is three.
This is not a math podcast. But one of the key moments, this is not a math podcast. One of the key moments, the meme that went viral, mm-hmm. is Cat Williams sipping and saying, actually, I'm just going to make, it's an 8-second video.
No, we have time. We have three. We're at 3 minutes and 39 seconds. So we have a little more time than kind of I realized.
I was like, wait.
No, like that math when you said that, mathing. I was just like, you're right. 100% correct.
Right. It's good. We're, oh my God.
Wow, now people will see a struggle with the iPad in real
time. We'll cut that shit out.
He took a sip of drink and said,
you having an unnatural allegiance to losers is not like you.
One of the greatest quotes of all time. Cat Williams really can deliver incredible quotes. I still remember like so viscerally being in high school and watching, I think it's a stand-up Pimp special.
Chronicles.
Where he's in the green suit.
Pimp Chronicles
and
2007.
He's talking about smoking weed called death that you find out is death, whatever, and he says, I got shit to do today.
Yeah.
And I think in Cat Williams's voice, whenever I'm like running around and something is trying to take my time, I think I got shit to do today, like all the time. Yeah. That is like lives forever in my mind.
Yeah, so that's kind of the question. Why do you think that specific sound went viral? Like a bunch of fucking people did clips, all this stuff. And I'm just like, why do you think that sound went viral? Obviously, the whole thing went viral, but that little clip of you having an unnatural allegiance to losers is not like you.
Because I think we all have someone that we've wanted to say that to.
Yeah.
And he puts it so perfectly, like an unnatural allegiance to losers is such a strong choice of words. The sip, the way that he delivers it, like everything about it is like, you can, I think the reason that sounds go viral is that you can take them and apply them to so many things. And that is so applicable. You have an unnatural allegiance to losers.
We all know someone who's dating a loser, is rooting for losers. Yeah.
Bringing losers around to their parties and stuff. And it's like, you have an unnatural allegiance to losers.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
So that's January.
That was January. Wow. And that was 6 minutes.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're rocking and rolling. I'm going to go to February. Guys, February was a big month for memes. So we started off with something that we talked about on the pod in the Nagin Farsad episode. We've got to talk about the Willy Wonka Glasgow experience. So for anyone who does not remember, this was an event that took place in February. It was billed as a Willy Wonka themed immersive experience. It quickly devolved. As soon as people got there, it was like very shitty.
Yeah.
Everything looked like crap. The costumes were weird. The script for it was clearly AI generated.
Yeah.
And the two huge memes that came out of it were the sad Oompa Loompa, played by Christy Patterson, who's a lovely Scottish girl, but she does look like me. And that's how Glasgow Willy Wonka experience came into my life, is that I truly woke up to so many pictures of people being like, why do you look so much like this Oompa Loompa? This is really crazy. And then I did do a TikTok video where I pretended to be the Oompa Loompa.
And I feel like it made numbers.
It did well. And that's kind of why I want TikTok to stay. Anyway, I do better on TikTok. Okay. Anyway. And the other big meme that came out of it was a character that was created in this AI generated script called The Unknown, who we ended up finding out was played by a teenage actress named Felicia Dawkins. But for a while, no one knew who played this person because it's like a person in all black with a silver mask and
by a mirror,
by who would just pop out from behind a mirror. And like, I guess based the script said that they were an evil chocolate maker who lived in the walls of Willy Wonka's factory.
See, that's the thing. I'm like, why do you have a script for a Willy Wonka experience? Like, the whole thing is like, you give out candy and people take pictures with shit. Like, you don't have
to... and they didn't... Remember, they, like, didn't have candy. They had, like, one cup of lemonade for every person. And then you could get, like, one... There was no chocolate. You could get, like, a gummy bear or whatever. So that was really funny. I mean, it is this thing with AI where it's, like, you really can't just write an intro for your Willy Wonka or have the actor do it. Like, you need AI to generate all of this.
Sure, if you're
going to
generate the copy, but the whole script, this is, and I feel like this set the trend for all these scammy events.
Yeah.
Like Bridgerton, Detroit.
Yes.
Which was the Bridgerton fail. And I sent you a TikTok the other day about this Christmas bar in DC.
Yes.
Where DC influencers, which is so cursed.
Yeah, cursed content, DC influencers.
DC influencers. No. Anyway, but the DC influencers, that one was funny because it was supposed to be this Christmas-themed bar, right? And they're supposed to have Christmas activities, but they just paid an actor to, like, get people to play charades. Like...
I think that it's, like, people think that you can make a quick buck off of these, like, Instagram experiences.
Yeah.
But the caveat to that is, like, they do have to be good.
They
like
have to look good.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter if you don't do anything fun in there, but they actually have to look cool.
Yeah. Like, if you're gonna do one of these fun pop-ups, it has to actually, you, the point of it is to get pictures, basically. And if you're not providing good pictures because everything looks like shit and none of it makes sense, then you're not going to get that. I do have an update on the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience, which is that the organizer, Billy Cole, it's spelled C-O-U-L-L.
There's no way to know.
I know.
How
I
shit
can't.
Is pronounced
it, we're talking about Scottish people here. Like, there's no way as an American can know.
No, and it's not our job.
And it's not our job. We're not a Scottish podcast.
We're not a Scottish podcast.
So he has since gone on to say in an interview with E that this is the quote: "My life is ruined. I have lost my friends. I have lost the love of my life." So this did not work out well for him.
Yeah, well.
And then to bring up one more meme from the month of February last year with our remaining 3 minutes, we're staying across the pond. We're staying in the UK. February was the month where Kate Middleton went missing.
Missing, yeah.
This we talk about in an episode with Astigmatism Comedy and on our Patreon if you want to go back and do the full timeline. But basically, for those who don't remember, Kate Middleton was... Buckingham Palace said Kate Middleton was going to be recovering from a prolonged surgery, but then after people didn't see her in public for a really long time, and there was like this bizarre...
It was like 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, it lasted until March.
Yeah.
Because the big culmination was this weird, bizarre, photoshopped image they released on British Mother's Day, in March.
Oh, shit.
It created all of these rumors that she was dead, that she and William are divorcing, that she was in rehab, that they disappeared her. Mm. And then it turned out that she had cancer and she had to do that video where William didn't, she's talking alone to camera. I'm like, William, you're not even going to sit next to her while she does this
video. No, he fucking sucks.
Since then, she's had a couple of different public appearances. She's looking well. Mm-hmm. With our last couple of minutes in February, do we have any reflections on the fervor that was missing Kate Middleton?
I think a lot of people wanted it to be like, oh, you see, this is why she went missing. And it's like, babe, King Charles is out here doing shit.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker has cancer too. And if it's cancer, then just say it's cancer. But it wasn't just the cancer. It was
that Buckingham Palace acted
so weird
about it that it, and I think we talked about this in our episode, but it's this thing of like, they clearly still have this mentality that like,
everyone's stupid.
Yeah, everyone's stupid and everyone will just like believe whatever they say. And if the palace releases a weird statement, everyone's just going to believe it. And it's like, no, you should have just said from the beginning what was going on, or just said, like, you know, Kate, I understand. Like, there's part of me that's like, well, she deserves, if she's not ready to come forward about having cancer yet, I get that. But I guess my thing was like, just post an actual real image. This is what I always thought is like, post an image of her. She's lightly glammed, but not too mm-hmm. much. Light face tune, but not mm-hmm. too much. She's sitting in her big fancy bed. Mm-hmm. The princes and the princess are serving her breakfast in yeah. her big fancy bed tray. Yeah. And it's clearly taken that day. There's a newspaper behind her that yeah, says what yeah, date yeah. is. And she's like, recovering well. Yeah. But it was the fact that no one saw her. And then all there was like that weird image of her in the car that came out.
That she said she loves Facetune.
Yeah. And then she like, and then yeah, there was like a weird image of her in a car from far away. And then there was this weird Photoshop that nobody was buying. And it was like all the weird behavior that fueled it, when all they needed to do was be like, recovery is taking a little longer than we thought, but like, thanks for all the well wishes. Cause even Charles did a video where he was reading like cards from like when
he had cancer.
Yeah, it was like him being like, and here's a card from this person, thank you. So it's like, if this old ass man can be doing this, it was very weird that Kate wasn't.
And that made me think that like, she, it was the cancer thing, but also they were breaking up, also he was yeah. caught with someone else and all that shit.
I know,
they
it brought up all their little cheating stuff. Shit.
Yeah, so
with the, what's her, the Marchioness of Chaumondeley.
Oh yeah.
Chumley is how they pronounce it.
What is it called? The Turnip Toss.
The Turnip Toss, all their friends and stuff. So guys, check out that episode with the stigmatism comedy if you want all that. We're actually on to 8 minutes, so we have to move on.
Yeah, no.
We have to move on to March.
Okay, so March is that really crazy meme. Send it to me, Rachel, please.
Yes.
Now, do you know the context of that meme?
It's like a Jesus yes. situation.
See, I didn't know that until I watched it. But basically, Send It To Me, Rachel was also known as Jesus Was Seen. And it refers to a viral video from TikTok of a woman telling her mom that Jesus was seen in Ohio. And her mom believing it, asking her daughter named Rachel to send it to her. In the video, the mom gets emotional, on the verge of crying. Originally posted, this is crazy, mm-hmm. right? Because we're talking March 2024. The video was posted in late 2022. But the video resurfaced numerous times, and it went viral in March 2024.
You never know when it's going to happen for you. And you never
let's
know.
Let's hope it happens for us in 2025. Please. Let's hope we get Shannon Sharp numbers. Yeah. God damn it. So the video, you know, so, okay. It led to it going viral in 2024. A lot of people dubbed it. It's that thing. And then they posted humorous scenarios. And a lot of people mm-hmm. speculate, there's speculation that this shit went viral because of Easter, which is around March.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, referencing the resurrection of Jesus.
People are looking for Jesus around that time. That's famously when he'll show up.
Yeah. But this video also, Jesus stuff, and this video also resurfaced after the premiere of Dune Part 2 in theaters, which was a lot of the Send It To Me, Rachel, Please was jokes about the Lisan al-Jai prophecy.
right, because he's very, there's a Jesus situation going on there.
There's a Jesus situation going on there. And yeah, so it was like that, this convergence of Jesus and Timothy Chalamet. So
and again, I've never seen them in the same room.
Well, speak on it. So somebody on March 28th, 2024, somebody said, put the video with the text caption, how it feels asking your friends for the photos you took together on their phone. And that one gained 3.9 million plays and wow. 1 million likes in 6 days. Another, you know, there's all these other situations. This one of my favorite ones was the second someone mentions another raging bitch I went to high school with is pregnant. So let's quickly watch this video. Yeah. Then I'll tell you one more meme and then we'll react.
Beautiful.
Jesus was seen. Where, Rachel?
Oh my God.
Show me to me, please. Send it to me, Rachel.
It was literally seen in Ohio.
Please send it to me. Oh, now, please.
Oh my God. This
okay,
is crazy.
Okay, Rachel, which one? Send it to me, baby. Which one? Is it on TikTok?
Mommy, I'm kidding.
Rachel, don't do that.
This poor woman.
I know. She is so ready for Jesus
to
be
seen. She's so ready
for Jesus. I will say that I think the reason why this video spoke to me is that I don't think that my mom would start crying immediately.
Your mom did that walk. I don't even know what the fuck that walk's called.
Oh, the Camino.
Yeah.
Listen, Catholic boomer mom life. And my mom isn't even Catholic anymore because of the controversies. We're Episcopalian now. Because of all the things.
The controversies. I thought you were going to say, because of conclave.
Because she didn't like what they did at the end there. Anyway, so, but like Catholic culturally, I do think that I do think that I could convince my mom that Jesus has been seen. I don't think she would start crying, but I do think she would be like, is it on TikTok? Send it to me.
Okay, yes. again, it's one of those things where it's like applicable and whatever, but it's also like the Dune thing. And another thing that happened in March was that the Dune 2 came out, and there was the Dune 2 popcorn bucket where it was the sandworm around the opening, and it looked like a fleshlight.
It did. It did. It looked like a pocket pussy kind of butthole looking situation, which they had to know.
Yeah, they had to know. And also, like, so it's like two things that we're learning about virality. It has to be something that's applicable or look like a pocket pussy.
Yeah. I love the idea that, like, it's just like one clueless executive is putting this forward and everyone else in the room is like,
well, I'm not going to be the one to say it.
No, it looks good. It looks good. We should definitely put this out for sure, for sure, for sure.
I'm also just like, isn't the point of Dune that you don't want to go down the sandworm's mouth? So why would you have to reach in the sandworm's mouth and get
your popcorn?
Popcorn. Like the Black Panther popcorn thing was like the face, like the mask, and then you opened it like the top of the head and then got the popcorn in there. Why couldn't you get the pocket pussy thing is crazy.
I wonder how many, because I do remember on Club Chalamet's Twitter, her saying that she had seen the movie like upwards of four times. And I do wonder how
many.
Yes. Which is so long. And she's in theaters every time. Because
I mean, you can't say shit because you've seen Wicked more than once in theaters.
I've seen it twice. I have seen it twice at this point. And who knows, by the time of this recording, maybe I'll have seen it again. And there was a girl typing on a laptop while sitting in the aisle during my second showing. And God bless her. And
no one knows.
And no one. And you know what? Even if she's flying solo, at least she's flying free.
Yeah. We'll look for her in the western sky.
But I do just wonder if Club Chalamet has a bunch of those.
Oh, the pocket pussy? Yeah,
because I know I have a very specific image of her that she posted of herself sitting in the theater being like, in it for round three, and she's got the pocket pussy
popcorn bucket. I saw today doing research on eBay for sale for $800.
$800?
That's going to be a collectible item in like a few years. It's already.
I mean, yeah, $800. That's a lot for that thing. But maybe, I guess if you fuck it, it's going to be.
I know. I'm like, I don't know. If someone spends $800 on me,
then you.
I'd fuck it. I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, if you get me Oh Mary tickets,
I just feel like if you pay $800 on eBay for it, you should fuck it at least once.
Well,
and you have a penis to fuck it and stuff. Yeah, I guess you could. Listen, this is getting really. We're going
on.
Really far. We have to move on. We have to move on for the next month. Okay.
The next month is April.
The next month is April. Famously, that is how the calendar works. Let me see. Okay. April. It's here. Anyway, April. April, light month for memes.
Mm-hmm.
Light month for memes. Mm-hmm. But April is when match my freak.
Light month for memes, heavy month for Tinashe.
Yes, big month for Tinashe. Mm-hmm. This is her song.
Yeah.
Match my freak.
Nasty.
Nasty. I guess, yeah, in my mind, I always call it Match My Freak, but the song is called Nasty.
Nasty.
Like,
nasty.
I've been a nasty girl. Nasty. Anyway, the contours of this meme are that the song came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good song. You know more about Tinashe than I do, but
I do
like
know a lot more about Tinashe.
I'll admit that openly.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that like people had been quietly standing for a long time, waiting for her to have this major moment that was April 2024 for her.
She was in the category of pre-Brat Charlie XCX.
Yes.
Carly Rae Jepsen. Like, it's only like white gay men, you know, really standing her, because she can sing really well. She dances really well. Like, and her songs were fun and crazy. She had two on. Like, it's not her. It was not her first big major song, but it went viral in a way. Like,
yeah. Well, it's because it became this meme for anyone who hasn't seen where there's a line in the song that's like, is somebody going to match my freak? And then people start posting being like, he matched her freak, or like they matched each other's freak, and posting pictures of like celebrity couples or like fictional characters. Do you have any that you remember? Because there's one that sticks out in my mind.
Okay, the thing, not necessarily like match my freak, but there is this video, I think it's of this white nerdy guy. Do you know what I'm talking about? The super white nerdy guy with glasses who literally looks exactly like McLovin from Superbad. And he's in some kind of Caribbean dance class with this beautiful black woman. And he's like gyrating. And then they start like kind of grinding and stuff. And then they put it to Nasty. And that went super viral.
Is he good at dancing or bad?
Oh, he's super good. He's just like, it's like one of those things where it's like the moves and the face do not match.
Yeah.
So that always will go viral.
Yes.
And then he's dancing with this black girl. So then that goes super viral on like black Twitter, black TikTok, whatever. And then that really like started.
That type of stuff will always go viral. Because I have a friend who is Nigerian and she married a white guy who's kind of like a tall, thin white guy.
Okay, I think I know.
And then he like did a traditional dance. There's
the
like
money dance.
Yes, he did it at the wedding, and he was like actually really, really good. And like his like footwork was like really, really good, I think is what they call it. And they went viral. For that, because people were like, hell yeah.
People
he fucking
love
learned.
White guys dancing ethnically.
Yeah. And I think it's also like with that one, people were like, oh, he like took the time to like
to learn
this thing and like took it serious and like did a really good job. And that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's
nice
to see. My match, my freak that stands in my mind was somebody posted, Joan Cusack from the Addams Family movie.
Okay.
And they were like, nobody could match her freak. And then someone responded and they were like, the thing is, Fester absolutely could match her freak. She simply wouldn't let him.
Well.
And I'm like, that's true. Fester could have matched her freak.
Fester could have matched her freak. She couldn't match his. She was trying to tone him down.
Well, she was trying to put him in pastels, which is that famous Angelica Houston line where she's like, you've put Fester under some strange sexual spell. I can respect that. But pastels? and then she kicks her out of the house.
yeah. It was, I just remember Uncle Fester with that wig.
The wig is amazing. I've always wanted to do a couple's costume with Danny. As Uncle Fester in the wig and me with like the pink, like she has
the pink the scarf. Thing.
Yeah, when they're living in the big pastel house.
Yeah, Danny and said no.
He didn't say he's never said no. It's on me to collect all the
you
items.
You have to do all.
Yeah,
the things.
I'm gonna have to take the
initiative.
The
burden of marriage. Yeah.
I know, but he would put the costume on. But
he'd
now I'm between
anything.
That and I want to be Lisa Vanderpump and Ken.
But so the thing is that you know how Halloween is. There's always five events.
It's
you can do it. You can do all the things.
I also I get deep into thinking of Halloween's in the future. I'm also like, maybe I save Lisa Vanderpump and Ken until we potentially have a child, and then the child we can dress up as their little Pomeranian, and then we're Lisa Vanderpump, Ken, and the little dog. These are things I think about.
I can't engage with the psychosis.
okay, let's move on.
So
let's move on
to
the next month.
Okay, so May is very fun for memes. There was the very popular be mindful of why you were invited to the section, yes. which is girls trying to behave in VIP. That one was really fun. But the most epic meme was the Four Seasons Orlando Baby.
The Four Seasons Orlando Baby.
Four Seasons
wow.
Orlando Baby, where an infant child is expressing enthusiasm to stay with his. See, this says it's his, but it's hers. And women's story matter.
Wow.
The Four Seasons Orlando Baby was a girl.
What?
Yes. Yes.
That's breaking news to me.
No, women's stories matter and we can't erase women.
Right. I feel like everyone just thought because the baby's like bald and shirtless in the video. They're like, that's a boy. But it's like baby. No. Like you can't be saying that with babies.
And guess what? So, OK, the aunt. OK, so the video was posted by So Brizzle. Well, watch the video and then yeah. I'll tell you the caption.
I have a question for everybody. Who wants to go to the Four Seasons Orlando?
Me.
I mean, me. I want to go to the Four Seasons Orlando.
I want to go to the Four Seasons Orlando. So the video was posted by @SoBrizzle, which is Stephanie O'Brien, who's presumably the aunt of the baby, on May 17th, 2024.
2 days after my birthday.
2 days after your birthday. Wow. The 8 second video post received 15 million views, 15.3 million views and 2.2 million likes over the course of 2 days, and was captioned, "If at Four Seasons Hotel is looking for a baby ambassador, my niece got you."
Wow.
So already dispelling the rumors.
So people have been erasing the gender of the Four Seasons Orlando baby the entire time. And I'm holding myself accountable. Yeah. I thought that baby was a boy.
Wow. And look at us now.
And look at
us now. So following the virality of with the baby, the family did indeed, happy ending, visit the Four Seasons Orlando
Thank
Hotel.
God.
Four Seasons incorporated God. The baby's visit into a May 26, 2024 TikTok promotional video, which earned over 7 million views and 1.3 million likes in 2 days, calling the baby fully conscious and utterly fabulous.
Right.
Because I guess that was one of the things.
Yeah,
is that
I was
the baby
say.
Was looked so young, but for her to be responding so like me
yeah.
to a thing.
People thought it seemed like wise beyond her years.
Yeah.
Though I do think there were things where it's like the baby looks young, but is a little older than you would actually think. Like,
yeah, I think it's because she was bald
yeah.
and butt-ass naked.
Yeah, and in the diaper, it's the giving diaper. Baby on a different level. And I do also think that even, I don't think that the baby necessarily knew what the Four Seasons Orlando was, but it does know to go like, me. Like,
yeah.
I think like when you're a baby, you're learning the rhythms of conversation.
Yeah.
And so it's
Call
like, who
response.
Wants to?
Me.
Like, I think that it just new to say that, but the fact that it's the Four Seasons Orlando is so funny.
The baby and her family were also interviewed on ABC News on May 23rd,
wow.
where again she displayed her seemingly advanced linguistic capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
The May 24th TikTok repost by @texture without words of the baby answering a news anchor's question, because the news anchor is like, who wants to go to the Four Seasons Orlando? And she was like, me again. Got 3.7 million likes and 21 million views over the course of 4 days. The baby's aunt, which is TikTok user So Brizzle, who changed her profile description to "I'm just her tia, chill," mm-hmm. posted videos from the Four Seasons vacation.
Is the Four Seasons Orlando baby Latina?
I think that somebody in the family's Latina.
Wow. Okay, so we erased a Latina.
Well, somebody's Latina somewhere.
Or someone's using Tia.
Because she said Tia, but then also the caption being like, if anyone's looking for a baby and ambassador, my niece got you.
Yeah.
That's not white girls speak to.
And
so.
And we're going to the Four Seasons Orlando. A lot is happening.
Like, a lot is happening. It's very Hispanic coded.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they showed them the baby dining at the hotel. That one got really popular. And then other brands, such as the Atlanta Hawks NBA team, also posted the baby video, including the meme. And the Atlanta Hawks meme got 1.8 million views. And
get in there, Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Get in there.
So, yeah, that's May.
That's May. I will do one Elise lore drop, which is that when I was a little baby, I made my mom read this book, Make Way for Ducklings, to me so many times that I had memorized Make Way for Ducklings. And my mom would make it seem like I could read when I like couldn't read yet. And people would be like, wow, this baby can read. And it's like, no, I just literally am so obsessed with Make Way for Ducklings that I have memorized what every single page was. And it is an adorable book about a bunch of ducklings in Boston.
Millie lore is that I got attacked by ducks when I was a kid.
And you did not make way for ducklings?
I did not make way for ducklings. And then another lore, too, is that I used to have this obsession with taking off my clothes. Like, they would dress me as, like,
still
a two-year-old.
Yeah, well, she still got that.
Well, and that's why I live in Bushwick. I saw a cat. Took off all my clothes and ran out the back door to chase a cat. And there was little naked 2-year-old, 3-year-old Millie walking through a neighborhood. And the people called the police on me. The police came, wrapped me in a towel, and went door to door and asked people if they were missing a baby girl. Then they go to my family's house. They say, are you missing a girl? My sister goes, no. And then she's like, wait, hold on, let me check. And then she sees the trail of little clothes leading to the back door. And she said, yes.
Yeah, that's ours.
The police had to check the house to make sure everything was okay.
Wow, that's incredible. That's an incredible lore drop. And with that, we'll move on to June. June is a huge month for memes in 2024. First, we have Brat Summer.
In
June. The Apple Dance.
The Apple Dance.
Drops in June. And okay, so Brat Summer is obviously its own thing. Now the album is like on all these Album of the Year lists. Obama put it on his list, which is always incredibly funny.
Yeah,
Obama, he put 365. Like, it's either 360 or,
I think he put 365.
Yeah, one of the and in his thing, and I'm like, I just thought it was funny that he chose Brat over Chapel Roan, because I feel like Chapel Roan is more Obama list coded.
Yeah, but Chapel Roan,
she wasn't at her peak yet.
Chapel Roan, he would have done it because he put like Ethel Kane, he put like Lucy Dacus, he put, what is it, Boy Genius. Like, yeah. He's always putting some indie shit on there.
Yeah.
But Chapel Roan has like outwardly been like, you know, pro-Palestine and anti-democratic.
But I don't know if she had at that point yet.
So she did. She's been early with it. But the thing is, 360 and 365 are about doing cocaine.
I know, which is very funny. Obama has done. He talked about it in his book.
I mean, you don't go to Columbia and not dibble in the little nose can. Booger sugar.
When I was in college, I had a ringtone that was a sound from Barack Obama, because Barack Obama reads his own audiobook. And like Dreams for My Father, and in it he has a friend who's always like cursing and like talking about drugs and stuff, so there are all these clips of Obama being like, motherfucker, give me my damn fries, and like all this stuff. And so I had that as a ringtone on my phone in 2008, because that's what we were doing.
Elise was living out in 2008.
No one has lived out harder than me. Yeah. In 2008. Yeah. At the University of Delaware.
Yep.
It was a living out for the ages.
Yeah.
And
she's never lived so hard. Well, you lived out with your pantsuit at the Jacob Javits Center.
And that was the end. I lived out kind of until that moment in 2016. And then the living out precipitously declined. Yes. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Brat Summer.
Yeah.
Apple Dance spawned a whole other genre of videos, which was like people being put on screen, like famous people being put on screen at the Sweat Tour doing the Apple Dance, and then a drunk or otherwise drugged out person who was in the crowd pushing them out of the way because they like don't realize that person is famous. So like, first it was like the TikToker who invented the Apple Dance was put on screen to do the Apple Dance, and then someone else who didn't realize that's who it was, which I can forgive because I'm not going to immediately recognize the TikToker, kind of like jumps in behind her and starts doing it too, and people were...
I feel like that's the tour's fault because they had her in the crowd.
Yes.
Like, you know, if somebody sees a camera on a girl in a crowd and you don't know who it is... I'm just thinking about when Telemundo came to our school, because one of our coaches was 24 and he was fucking a 16-year-old like student.
Can't be doing that.
You can't be doing that. But I didn't think we needed like 15 news trucks there.
No.
But I was twerking.
Sometimes if you see a camera and you're at fucking Charlie XCX, like everyone's fucked up, like people are doing whatever. And then there was a second one that was like Brittany Broski doing it.
Yeah, and
then
a bunch of other like TikTok
people. And then this like truly dead behind the eyes looking older gay man pushes Brittany Broski out of the way to do
it
himself.
And doesn't even do the dance.
And doesn't even do the dance. He just tries to get in the camera, and people, there was a lot of discourse about that. And I was like, that man, number one, had no idea who Brittany Broski was.
No.
And number two, you can see in his eyes that that guy doesn't even know where
what
he is.
What year it is, yeah.
Like, that guy has
he doesn't even know, like, that this is the year of the Four Seasons, Orlando, baby.
He has no clue. He's just like, camera, and like, truly...
L.A.
It's
and
L.A.
And that's what
as
happens
well.
When you do, you know.
And that's why we stay in New York.
That's why we stay
and
in New York.
And also in June. June is when we get Hawktua.
Oh, my gosh.
June is when we get Hawktua, famously discussed on our episode with my husband, Danny Groh. And then in a recent episode to when we're recording this with Ryan Broderick, we talk about the crypto scam.
The Hawktua coin.
You know,
she's going to talk to the SEC.
I did see a tweet recently that made me laugh that just said talk of the morning to or hawk of the morning to
yeah, hawk of the morning.
I'm like,
to
people have fun stuff with that. But I mean, to go from viral sensation to investigated by the SEC for crypto scam in 6 months.
I mean, there no one's doing it like the hawk to a girl.
No one's doing it like Miss Haley Welch, to be working at a spring factory.
Then and to go now, you're canoodling with Matt, the likes of white nonsense Matt Rife.
Yeah, Logan Paul,
his
network, and you're in major legal trouble because you put your name behind a coin that was obviously a scam and like didn't bother to look up what any of that was, and your boss has already been implicated in a crypto scam.
Many scams, baby. So you know what? Women in STEM, women in finance, women in scamming. This is what we love.
We have another minute left. What are your predictions for the Hawktua girl going into 2025?
I don't know. It's going to be really interesting, actually, because with Trump in charge, the Trump administration has replaced all the fake promises that he did to the mining, like the miners mm-hmm. community, to the crypto community.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting to see how that lines up. But she's going to get into some, I kind of want to see her in like a Cousin Greg in Succession, like kind of fucking interview.
Oh, a hearing before like Congress. Oh, that would be so awesome. Okay, yeah. Hawktua hearing before Congress that ultimately results in Donald Trump pardoning the Hawktua girl.
Yeah.
That's the prediction for 2025.
Yeah. And this is what I said, Elise. I said, listen, if me and you, look, maybe we'll get Shannon Sharp numbers by being ourselves, or maybe we can both turn into skinny white girls and make our podcast about sucking dick, and then we'll get Shannon
and
Sharp.
And then
numbers.
We can release Grass Coin.
Yeah, Grass Coin. And then we can speak to the Security Exchange Commission.
Yeah, and then we'll go before the SEC. That's a beautiful plan.
You know what? And thank you, Haley, because you can't be what you can't see. And it's
so
good.
And different is better than better.
Different is better than better. That's what Tyra Banks said.
That's what Tyra Banks said, and that's what we say till the day we die.
Till the day
we
die.
Put it on my grave. Different is better
than
better.
Different is better than better. Speaking of different being better than better, let's talk about July.
Wow.
Cancer season, which is was in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were discussing, the internet was discussing Clairol Shade, which is too indie for to even get to it. We were all thirsting over the Olympic shooters of Korea and
right,
of Turkey.
Right, that girl who had, they had such different vibes too, because it was like the South Korean girl who had like all the gear.
The
and
Spy
like
Kids
the
glasses.
Like, and then the Turkish guy who literally like hand in his pocket, just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah, which looked like he just like had a shift out of bodega earlier that
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
So, but everybody was talking about when Kamala became nominated, when Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race on my birthday, July 21st.
Yes, he did.
If you want to see a hopeful Elise, a hopeful Millie, and a hopeful Akilah Hughes, which that might be the last day you see that, you can watch actually that whole episode. That was the one episode I edited to YouTube. So you could watch that, and that episode randomly on YouTube right now where we do an analysis of Kamala memes.
You can see almost a 2016 era lib out.
Yeah, we lived out.
There
in
were
a
stars
way.
In our eyes. There were coconuts in our eyes.
There
we were excited.
In their eyes. We fell out of the coconut tree. Everyone was excited. And back to Brett Summer, Charlie XCX even exclaimed that Kamala is Brett. But as the words of another pop star, Joe Biden dropped out, in the words of JoJo, too little, too late.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the political grass, there was the famous meme of J.D. Vance fucking a couch. Mm-hmm. So here's the breakdown of what happened, right? Yep. And this is a breakdown by Manny at Manny Fidel on Twitter. So the J.D. Vance had sex with a couch saga explained. So guy tweets that J.D. Vance wrote about having sex with a rubber glove stuffed in between the cushions of a couch in Hillbilly Elegy.
Which
as
I
a
read
joke,
like a fucking least, idiot. In
which
my...
at least read because that was the beginning of end of you libbing out.
Yeah, exactly. That was the last grasps of my libbing out is that I was like, I will read the book. I will try to understand.
Understand
and
economic
I was like, this guy
anxiety.
Fucked a couch.
This guy fucked
What's
a couch.
What's this guy talking about?
People believe the couch fucking story because it's a coming of age story. Not that preposterous that a horny teen would try this. You know, horny guy. Listen, one of the most favorite movies of America for a while was a guy fucking an apple pie.
Yeah,
so
it's
fucking a couch is actually less weird than fucking an apple pie or fucking an AMC Dune 2 popcorn bucket.
The context of it in the book is like, he's like trying to figure out if he's gay. And he's like, well, I fucked a couch and I like my male friends. And then his grandma, who Glenn Close plays in the movie, is like, well, do you want to fuck a guy in the ass? And he's like, what? And that's the whole it's a weird book, you guys.
Yeah. So it goes viral and memes about JD smashing a couch spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. The Associated Press fact checks the whole thing with the headline, no, comma, J.D. Vance did not have sex with a couch. But then the Associated Press deletes the article because while they determined that the original tweet was a fabrication, they could not, with journalistic integrity, verify that J.D. Vance never fucked a couch.
But didn't he say that in the book? Or am I like remembering it?
No, the whole thing was that this guy tweeted it as a joke.
Oh, he I thought he not- literally did say that in the book and I was retcon remembering it. See, I don't remember that much about the book, but there is a part of the book where he's trying to figure out if he's gay.
Yeah, so
that's
they
what
put
I
it
thought.
In the thing. So like, it wasn't, the
wow.
guy wrote a fake.
They implanted a false memory in my mind of J.D.
Mandela effect, baby.
Yeah. Mandela effect is that I thought J.D. Vance said he
actually
fucked
couch. But okay, but then.
You watched it live here and that's why we're doing video so that you can see.
Listen, Elise thought that.
I think so many things. I'm so wrong about it.
12
like, so
times
much.
5 is 90. And that J.D. Vance actually did
I'm
fuck
on
a couch.
Roll today.
And then Manny Fidel did a correction. The AP said that it retracted the article because it didn't go through their standard editing process and did not specifically mention the headline, which is still virtually impossible to verify. My team and I are working on an official statement. Thank you. And then he goes and says, as a news organization, you can't say that J.D. Vance has never had
Jay-Z
sex.
J.D. Vance, that's a character. Jay-Z put a pin in it. That's a character. J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance. J.D. At least he's going to come out with
one of the
on
darkest characters.
Doing the Chinese TikTok next year. Anyway, okay, that J.D. Vance has never had sex with a couch. You can only say the source of the claim was fake or that J.D. Vance claims XYZ. Allow the public to come to their own conclusions, including but not limited to the type of couch, the color, etc. So that was July. What do you think about July?
I mean, it's interesting to me to realize that I was truly incepted by that. I was like, no, yeah, that's in the book. I remember it. And then it's like, no, that other stuff is in the book.
Listen, we can only make fun of boomers so much because
We are all susceptible to misinformation, especially if there's confirmation bias.
Yeah. And if you think that, listen, He looks like someone who would fuck a couch.
He does.
And there are men out there that look like, you know, that's a, I say this, there's this Dominican saying that it's called a broom with a skirt. And it's like, if a broom wore a skirt, this guy would try to fuck it. These guys will try to fuck anything. It's not a compliment that a man wants to fuck you. And J.D. Vance does look like the type who would, if a couch wore a skirt and says that she hates women's rights, he'd try to fuck that too.
Yeah, so, he'd say that. Here we go.
Here we go.
This is my trad wife. Okay. We have to move to August.
Okay.
August, another big month another for memes. Big month. This is a meme that we discussed in our episode with Jay Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
August was the month of very mindful, very demure.
Yes.
And I mean, this went far and wide.
Far and wide.
You see how I do my makeup for work? Very demure, very mindful. I don't come to work with a green cut crease. I don't look like a clown when I go to work. I don't do too much. I'm very mindful while I'm at work. See how I look very presentable? The way I came to the interview is the way I go to the job. A lot of you girls go to the interview looking like Marge Simpson and go to the job looking like Patty and Selma. Not demure. I'm very modest. I'm very mindful. You see my shirt? Only a little chichi out, not my chocho. Be mindful of why they hired you. Here's your reality check, diva. What's the name you'd like me to make it out to?
Jules LeBron.
Jules LeBron, who I still see posting. I think that she's trying to branch out at this point.
She's doing a lot. She's just really funny. It's just one of those things. You know, sometimes, you know, we get milkshake ducked, which is like we think someone's fun. And then they end up being racist or crazy. And then sometimes, you know, once in a while, the internet makes the right person famous. Yeah. And I think that this was one of those times where it's like, oh, this person, like, they really, like, it changed their whole life.
Yeah, and that's what's been
great.
That's what's been very sweet about her content since, is I've seen a lot of, I remember seeing one video from her semi-recently where she was like, make the video, post it, do the thing. Like, I made the mindful demure video just like I was working at my job. I was feeling like shit. I had a horrible day. I went into my car and I just blasted this thing off and like it literally changed her life. I know at one point there was like worry that she was not going to have the copyright, but I think that that has since been resolved in her favor.
Yeah.
And I think that she'll have a viral phrase again.
I think that, like, because I saw a video of her the other day, and she just somebody who just has it.
Yeah.
So she was just talking about, like, if you want to come over, you want to kiki, you want to whatever, like, that's fine. But guess what? You're going to have to listen to the backstory. And then she turns the camera, and you see, like, 30 American Girl dolls. She's like, you're going to have to listen to all the stories about the American Girl dolls and all the lore. And I'm like, this bitch has it.
That's what I originally knew her from, because she used to do these really funny videos where she would pretend to be a hairdresser and she would have an American Girl doll and she would go, so what are we doing today? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like she would do a really funny hairdresser impression with the American Girl dolls. And so that was like what I originally recognized her from before she became very mindful, very demure.
Yeah. So
God bless Jules LeBron.
She's doing it. And I think September is now a problematic figure.
Yeah. Well, okay. We have one more from August.
Oh, one more from August before we get into September's.
Right. And this is the one where I'm going to do both. So that, anyway. Okay. Raygun. B-Girl Raygun is also in August. That is where, and we've discussed her on the Patreon. That is the Australian breakdancer who went viral for being extremely bad.
Yeah.
Many Halloween costumes, many videos, many viral
Rachel Dratch played her on Jimmy Fallon.
Much discourse was induced by people who were like, how did she become the person who represented Australia? Why? Like, people in the breakdancing community were unhappy to have her representing.
A lot of Australians stood up for the Australian breakdance community, had her back though.
Yeah, I think the Prime Minister of Australia also was like,
oh, yeah,
she had
you
a
did
crack
that.
At yeah, yeah, I tried to do that. The Australian accent on our Patreon, but it's like, yep, yeah, she had a crack at it and she had fun. But I will say that when I was looking into it for this, as of November 2024, she has retired from breakdancing.
Wow.
She will not breakdance again. So
wow.
You know,
we've seen a woman rise and fall.
Rise and fall. It's hard. It's hard out here. But I think she brought us a lot of joy. I don't. you know, maybe if I was a breakdancer, I would feel differently. But I don't think that she harmed breakdancing, the art of breakdancing. I think she gave us a funny moment. It's not like she won.
No.
The competition. She's not breakdancing anymore. And even though breakdancing is not going to be in the LA Olympics, that is not a result of Ray Gun. Yeah. That was just already not going to be in. Because it's like, I guess it's like some events are rotate in and out based on the host country.
Yeah, the host city. So, yeah, I mean, Australia, let me tell you, the whole country... The origins is, you know, there's a lot of indigenous people and all this stuff, but it was also where all the ghetto people from England, they sent them to Australia and all the outlaws and convicts and stuff. And it created this rebellion nature. Yeah. And that's kind of what I got from this.
That's kind of what the Australian Prime Minister said. He said, this is the Australian spirit at work.
Yeah.
Having a go on the world stage.
You got to have a go.
You got to have a go. All right. Now, September, we have to talk about Mudang.
Wow.
So Mudang was born in July, but she rose to prominence majorly in September. That we discussed her on the Danny Murphy episode in September. And that makes sense to me because I feel like babies, traditionally, it takes them 2 months to get to their, like, peak chubby cuteness.
Some would argue 4 or 5 or 6 because baby fresh out of the womb.
Yeah, they're always looking funky, but pygmy hippo, it seems like 2 months is a peak of cuteness.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Mudang. People released makeup palettes about Mudang.
Yeah.
Mudang, Mudang, Mudang. And then kind of where this does culminate is that Mudang did predict Donald Trump's victory.
And that's why we don't fuck with her, because she don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
But she did. She was right. So but I'm just wondering.
She said that, no, it wasn't what she... ate the cake. It was like 2 cakes, and it's like she voted for Trump, and that was like, and maybe that affected everybody.
I didn't take it as a vote for Trump. I took it as her saying, look, you know, you're asking me my opinion. I've been watching the election for a couple months now, and I'm looking at these opinion polls. I'm looking at what the expected turnout, and I fear that it's going to be a Trump victory. I think she was trying to warn us.
I just feel like I'm seeing her. She's not a girl's girl. She's not a girl's girl.
I think that she was saying, ladies, get ready. Ladies, get the plan B now. Because this is the second Trump administration is coming.
I don't know. I see it as like she was just not
complicit.
She's complicit in the patriarchy. She's not trying to do anything like different, whatever. It's just like, okay, girl, like, so what? You're a small hippo bitch. There's another small hippo that was born a month later. So,
but that hippo didn't have the same sauce as Mudang. They were trying to make that hippo happen. I guess we'll see. If Mudang joins the Trump administration, I'll eat my words. I'll eat the cake. But I took it as an act of solidarity for her to say, listen, I know that the memes have been fun. I understand memes. I understand what memes can do for people. But you know, there's a rightward shift globally that's happening, and it's coming for America next. I think she knew.
And to me, and listen, we can agree to disagree. That's what you think. I think it's your typical, you make someone viral and then they turn into a fascist.
Yeah, you think it's a Hawk-Tua?
I think it's a Hawk-Tua. I think it's a Hawk-Tua meme. I think it's a Hawk-Tua.
I will say, when we talked about Hawk-Tua coin, one of the suspicious actors involved in Hawk-Tua coin had bought bought Mudang coin first.
And the blockchain doesn't lie. That's what I learned from the crypto bro.
That is so true.
YouTube things that I watch.
That is so true. All right. Well, we'll agree to disagree, and we'll see more. We'll have to see how she acts in the future politically to know truly where Mudang stands.
I'm kind of done with Mudang, actually. So let's go to October.
We'll go to October.
So in October, we have a bunch of things, but first let's talk about Indeclerb, where we all fam.
Indeclerb, we all fam.
And that's a memorable, that sound went super viral. It was a memorable quote from a March 2016 episode of Comedy Central show Broad City.
Hey!
Hey!
Do you know them?
No, but Indeclerb, we all fam.
What?
Indeclerb, we all fam.
I don't... In the club, we are all family. Are you racist?
Um, personally, as a Latina, not my favorite. Like me, you know, that's when Broad City was a little problematic. Cause I don't, there's like that really famous scene where Ilana has this like these hoop earrings where she's, it says Latina in it. And like the,
but isn't the point that Ilana's kind of like isn't the point that she doesn't get that she's being problematic?
Like Abby's like, why are you talking like that, white girl? And then Ilana's like, why don't you get it? Like,
I kind of feel like that was like Ilana's arc, was that it's like that idea of that she's so trying to be inclusive that it's like she's actually racist, looping around to being racist.
Sure. But in a TikTok sound, that's like, what, you know, I don't know. That's not the conceit of people. Like, the conceit of people using the sound was like, we're all family, like we're all cool or something. And it's just like, not my favorite, but the video, the video went viral on October 3rd by hopefully guest of the pod one day, Maggie Splinters.
Oh my God. I forgot that Maggie was like the nexus of like the first person who kind of did the sound.
Yeah. And that video gathered 11 million plays and 570,000 likes in a week. And then it went super viral. Sabrina Carpenter did that video like a few days later. Yeah. So it just went viral. Not my favorite meme. I get what you're saying. I get what Broad City's saying. I just don't think that the that message was made by the conceit, or that didn't hit.
For you. For me, you're not into it.
With the sound going viral. But let's talk about lookalike contests.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I can't believe In Da Club, We're All Fam and lookalike contests were the same time period.
Yeah, so in late 2024, multiple news outlets reported a large-scale rise in the prevalence of lookalike contests across the United States, United Kingdom, Ireland, Australia, definitely a bunch of places, with the first initial lookalike contest to date was on October 27th, 2024. So this is where the quiz comes in, Elise.
Okay. So, okay. You guys don't know this, but Millie teased to me that there's a quiz.
There's a quiz here, baby.
And we're going to do a quiz.
And I'm
going
to pull up the answers. And I put the answers in a different doc because I don't want Elise to cheat. So.
And you know I'm a cheater.
And you know, well, let's not have that. Let's not have your husband hear that. I'm kidding.
Clip it.
Clip it. Yeah. Hold
on. I meant academically.
Okay. So. Your bachelor's gets whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
My bachelor's from the University of Delaware is rescinded.
Yeah. So this is where, so we say, where was this lookalike contest?
Okay. I'm excited.
So Elise, what city was the November 17th Jeremy Allen White lookalike contest?
Chicago.
That's a true question. There were two Jeremy Allen White contests, one in Chicago and one in Washington Square Park. The Chicago contest featured over 50 contestants. A lot of them looked at the bear, and the winner was a 37-year-old mental health therapist, Ben Shabbat, and he took home $50 and a pack of cigarettes. Okay.
That's extremely funny.
Where was the November 9th Harry Styles lookalike contest?
I mean, I'm going to go like London.
Ding, ding, ding. Yay! Yes. Okay, it was okay, in Soho Square. November 9th, it featured 12 contestants and a 50-year-old prize. And the winner was a 22-year-old musician named Oscar.
Great. And God bless you, Oscar.
Okay. Where was the November 10th Dev Patel lookalike contest?
The Dev Patel lookalike contest.
November 10th. Where was that located?
Oh, I didn't know that a Dev Patel lookalike contest happened. So I'm just going to guess the nexus of all lookalike contests, which is Washington Square Park.
Wrong. The Dev Patel lookalike contest was in San Francisco's Dolores Park.
Oh, okay.
Its organizers had originally planned a Robert Pattinson contest, but recognized that the contestants thus far had only centered around white celebrities and sought to represent a South Asian celebrity.
Well, I think that's beautiful.
Yes.
I think that's lovely, and I think representation in lookalike contests is important.
Speaking of representations of South Asians,
okay,
where was the Zayn Malik lookalike contest?
Okay, this one I remember because I think like a woman kind of got far in that contest.
Yes.
I have an image of the Zayn Malik lookalike contest, so I know it's not Washington Square Park. Maybe I'll just say London again.
Wow. It was in Brooklyn, and oh, bonus points if you can guess which park in Brooklyn.
Which park? Maria Hernandez.
Yes! Ah! Ding, oh! Ding, ding!
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
The Zayn Malik contest was taking place in Maria Hernandez Park in Bushwick and was won by 29-year-old Shiv Patel, who received $50 cash or a free tattoo. 26-year-old Jazz Arnold partially organized it for the chance to find someone cute, but later said that a lot of the contestants were either taken or gay or had their girlfriends force them to enter. Online commentators said that the finalists did not look like Malik. No contestants received thousands of new followers on social media.
Wow. So a controversial lookalike contest for a controversial man.
Wow. And there we go. Where was the Zendaya lookalike contest?
L.A.
Wrong.
What
was it? Wilma Chan Park in Oakland, California.
Okay.
Less than a mile from where Zendaya attended Oakland School for the Arts.
Okay. I remember that one because everyone was like, ladies, don't go to this. All that's going to happen is people are going to be like, you don't look like Zendaya.
Well, seven people competed, with two of them being willing to dance to Zendaya's song Replay, which is a good song.
Yeah.
Millie does love that song because I used to listen to it when I worked at Dave & Buster's Times Square. Mm-hmm. The winners included prizes like $40, shampoo and conditioner, and chocolates.
Okay. Okay. Elise, did the girls look like Zendaya?
I didn't look.
Okay.
I didn't see. Elise, where was the Glenn Powell lookalike contest?
Oh, I have no idea, but Glenn Powell has such like a Texan energy that I'm going to say Houston, Texas.
Close. It was in Austin, Texas.
Oh, damn. I should have said Austin.
It was organized by University of Texas Austin grad student. Powell appeared in a video message for the event and announced
that's
that
nice.
A family member of the winner would receive a cameo appearance in his next movie. Nearly 20 men competed and were judged by Glenn Powell's mother and aunt. Max Bronstein, who dressed up as Powell's character in Top Gun Maverick, won.
Okay.
As well as the cameo, he won a black cowboy hat, a medal, beautiful, and a year's supply of Torchy's Tacos. Wow.
Wow. Okay, that's like the biggest prize we've seen so far.
Okay. We just got three more questions.
Wow.
Where was the Miles Teller lookalike contest?
Miles Teller lookalike contest? These got really out of hand. I have no idea where the Miles Teller lookalike contest is, so I'm going to default back to Washington Square Park.
It was in Rittenhouse Square in following the Philadelphia Marathon. It was in Philly.
Okay.
And it had 22 contestants and a 19-year-old Penn State University student, Henry Luce, won.
Wow.
And received a Philly cheesesteak from Angelo's Pizzeria, South Philly.
Okay.
Okay. Where was the Heath Ledger lookalike contest?
Heath Ledger lookalike contest. Was it in Australia?
Yes. Can you guess the city?
Sydney seems obvious, so I'll go Melbourne.
It was in Camperdown Park in Sydney.
Oh, damn it.
Yes.
Damn it.
Large
I wanted to
crowd.
Be cool.
How
many of them were dressed as the Joker? I feel like probably at least a few.
Contestants were judged on their impressions of Ledger's line as well as their singing abilities. And they were additionally judged.
And their singing abilities.
Because of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, right.
And
right.
Look Moody holding a film camera. They were additionally judged in Look Moody holding a film camera.
Okay.
Joker beatboxing and Whose Beer Is Coldest rounds. A $51 prize was given to winner Jude Bailey.
Okay.
Two more questions.
Two more. Okay.
Elise, where was the Shrek lookalike contest taking place?
The swamp? Shrek lookalike contest, Glasgow.
The Shrek lookalike contest was held on the weekend of November 23rd in Los Angeles' Echo Park.
Wow, wow. I was just like, well, Shrek's Scottish, so maybe
yeah,
we'll
but
go
it
back.
But it was created by the person who created the traveling Shrek rave event.
Of course.
The them. Shrek rave, yeah.
Right.
You've seen the Shrek rave online. A lot of people we know have gone.
Yeah.
Contestants painted themselves with green face paint and wore tunics and ogre ears.
Great.
Finally, Elise, where was the Jack Schlossberg look-alike contest? Jack Schlossberg being
the Kennedy. That's not about to run the Department of Health.
Yeah, who's not about to run the Department of Health. Not RFK. This one believes in vaccines and is actually hot.
Yeah. Okay.
He has pussy nose, as they describe it.
I'm determined between like the ancestral homeland of Kennedys, which is Massachusetts and DC, but I feel like he is in DC, so DC.
DC. Yes. On the afternoon of November 24th, and there was a total of 1,200 individuals that RSVP'd. 200 came. 14 contestants were whittled down to 7, then 4 by acclamation. And the 25-year-old Daniel Bonomo won the contest, receiving $50 in cash, a $100 one-year membership to Zipcar, a $100 gift card for Zalazar Restaurant.
Okay.
And, you know, they said that the people of D.C.
The Torchy's Tacos was the best one. That was the best one.
The Torchy's Tacos is good as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. The year of the lookalike contest. Do we think they continue in 2025?
You know, we'll get back. We'll circle back to that.
Okay. Well, let's go round out this year. Guys, November is probably my favorite meme of the year. After the lengthy Wicked press tour, it all culminated in a video of journalist Tracy Gilchrist, famously in queer media, interviewing Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. And in this interview, which I will play.
I've seen this week people are taking the lyrics of Defying Gravity and really holding space with that and feeling power in that.
I didn't know that that was happening.
Mm. I've seen it. Yeah.
That's really powerful. That's what I wanted. I didn't know that was happening.
I've seen it on a couple posts. I don't know how widespread, but, you know, I am in queer media, so that's my,
that's really cool.
She says to Cynthia Erivo, this week, a lot of people have been holding space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity and really taking power in that. Cynthia Erivo reacts as if she's been told that she cured world hunger. I didn't know that was happening. That's what I wanted. Ariana Grande grabs her finger. And then she's like, I've seen it on a couple posts.
It's like, where is this happening? And it's like,
really? I've seen it on a couple posts. Yeah, but I'm in queer media. So, I mean, every line of it is so perfect. It is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen in my life. I sent it to you immediately.
Yeah. And then you showed the picture of Ariana the finger, grabbing the finger.
And I said, us recording the podcast. So, I loved that video so much. I watched it truly hundreds of times. Since then, they've like talked to Tracy Gilchrist, the journalist who has made a bunch of jokes about it. They did like a talk back with Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, where Ariana Grande is like, yeah, I had no idea what was happening. And Cynthia Erivo, it's interesting, like, she's kind of trying to act like she didn't know what was happening either, but I think that the reaction to her, like, that which we talked about on the pod, the like, you've erased me thing, made her just kind of
react to anything.
Yeah,
so
I feel like at the end of the day, Cynthia Erivo is a very deep feeling and weird person.
Yeah.
And she has earned that with her performance in Wicked. She can be as fucking weird as she wants and emotional if that's what she's going to do for us on screen. So I still think she doesn't really understand why it was funny, but she is being good humored about it now. Whereas Ariana Grande, I do think that Ariana Grande was like, I actually don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to support my girl. Yeah. And to be fair, these press tours are very long and very grueling and people act weird. I don't I still don't know what Cynthia Erivo thought was being communicated to her in that moment that she reacted the way that she did. I think what the journalist has said is that she was kind of trying to set up to ask a larger question. And then Cynthia Erivo reacted in such an emotional way that she didn't really know like what to do. Like, I think she was kind of setting up to be like, you know, people are really...
Space, like, how did this make you feel?
Yeah, how does it make you feel to have sung like such an important song
for
or whatever?
Many people.
I mean, saying people are holding space with the lyrics of Defying Gravity is on its face funny, because what does that even mean? But I do think that she was, you can kind of see her surprise, which is why, yeah, I've seen it on a couple posts, which I think is my favorite part of the entire video, is I've seen it on a couple posts.
I think what we've seen in 2024 is that you've seen women reach the top, like the upper echelon, right? Like, you've seen like a girl who made a meme about sucking dick. Now she's scamming men.
Now she's in the crypto scam.
You've seen like what happens when theater kids get their dreams.
Their ultimate dream.
And it's that they just say weird shit and they're fucking weird and they don't know how to take a joke. And that's
and they cheat
kids.
On their spouses.
And they cheat on their spouses. And
they're crying and they're grabbing each other's fingers.
And they're just, it's just, this is what happens. Like, this is the top. It's like, wherever you think you can get, like, there's more. And there's just the possibilities are unlimited.
Yeah. And our future is unlimited.
Our future is unlimited. And finally.
Finally, the final
speaking
meme.
Speaking of unlimited futures, potential possibilities.
We have no idea where this is going to go.
No
As of
ideas,
this recording, we have
we
no
have no
idea.
Idea.
Where this
it's
is gonna
only
go.
Going to get crazier and crazier. We're going to round out 2024 with the most epic meme. I feel like everything built to this.
Yeah.
Luigi Mangione. So. The Luigi Mangione, free Luigi, hashtag free Luigi, Luigi Mangione's free campaign, free him campaign, is a viral social media movement that emerged mid-December, just a few days ago.
We're still in the, as we're recording this, we're still in the midst of this.
We're still finding out things about him, even though we went through his Reddit.
We did.
And his Twitter.
And we've talked about all of this, but I feel like Luigi will continue to be a meme in 2025. However you want to feel about that, it will continue. And we've already discussed that his Philly lawyer is definitely going to be meme status. We have a star lawyer on our hands. Watch this space.
There was already things about the New York lawyers being his New York lawyer and Diddy's New York lawyer
are married.
So there's a lot going on in that house. You need to know that those lawyers are very rich. At the end of the day, those lawyers
those
are very
people
rich.
Are rich. But it is funny to be like, I was just thinking about like sitting at the dinner table and it's like, well, my client definitely murdered someone, but everybody loves them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, my client
murdered people
but nobody likes him.
Nobody wants to associate with him. Yeah. Nobody, because it's the opposite. Everyone who knows Luigi is like, he was really great. He was really fun. Blah blah blah. Everyone who associated with Diddy's like, we weren't even friends. No, like, I never even met him in my life. I don't
know.
It's like, here's 15
Puff,
pictures.
Who?
Yeah, who?
Sean Combs,
which if you want to hear, we did do a deep dive,
a Diddy deep
of
dive.
Every crime that Diddy
the crime had, line,
his crime line. Yes. How could I forget his crime line? The Diddy deep dive crime line. And there's a lot of crimes even before many of you were even born. Diddy was committing crimes. But back to our baby boy, Luigi. Listen, following his highly publicized arrest on December 9th at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, an online fandom, both ironic and genuine, started to post memes and jokes in support of the alleged shooter, many treating him as a misguided hero standing against the perceived corruption of the American healthcare system. Mm-hmm. The hashtag Free Luigi gained traction on platforms like Twitter, X, Reddit, and TikTok, with many users creating thirst traps, fan cams, and all those videos of Mangione that I've bookmarked. As well as spreading a conspiracy theory video that Mangione was not the shooter.
Yeah.
Pop Vase posted a screenshot showing the free him term going viral on the platform on X with over 37,000 searches. Not likes, searches. 37,000 people were searching him. the identification of Luigi Mangione, because it was like everyone was joking that this guy was hot, but then it was revealed that he was hot. And then
I know that was like, I feel like that is what contributed to like the memification of it is like, number one, it was the crime and people were like, okay, this is an interesting crime that I immediately have feelings about. Then it was the release of the photo where they're like, okay, he looks like he might be hot in the photo. And then it was the release of his actual name and people were like, oh my God, he is hot. And there are a bunch of pictures of him showing that he has a full six pack.
Full six pack, shirtless, hiking. He has these crazy ass politics that no one can handle.
Yeah,
down.
Which we have a deep dive in our Patreon about his political
diagonalist
beliefs. Yeah,
yes.
It was like the gray man or something. I forget exactly what I put forward, but it's a thing.
And it's all building up because there was a lookalike contest in Washington Square Park. It all goes back to Washington Square Park. And there was a lookalike contest of Luigi Mangione. Yeah. In there, and or the actually it was before they even knew his identity.
Exactly, because I remember people were joking like, what if one of them is just him?
meanwhile our baby boy was in Pennsylvania getting a hash at McDonald's, getting those $3.99, because now those hash browns are $2.99.
wow.
And you know what I mean, listen, ask me about stocks, I don't know, but how much are the hash browns individually at McDonald's breakfast? We know that. And this is an economy podcast, if anything.
Yeah, this is an economics podcast for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So that's our year in 2024.
That's our year.
So what do you feel about these memes?
I feel like we had some really strong memes this year. Mm-hmm. Things really, really strong. It'll be interesting to see what lasts the test of time. I think holding space for defying gravity will come back as Wicked comes back. And I do think I think a lot of lines from that video have entered the lexicon. I don't know what's in store for Mudang and Haktua Girl.
I'm done with both of them.
Yeah, I feel that Mudang is probably done. I think Haktua Girl, pending legal matters, will keep her relevant.
In the club, we're all fam. Now I can articulate after I've processed. It was such an Obama era meme and commentary on like race and wokeness and all this stuff, and now we are in Trump 2.0 now, and I just feel like people aren't getting the commentary, and also the writers were all white, like it's a whole thing. So
but that's the Broad City, you know. Broad
that's
City,
the whole Broad
is
City
a,
is very much Obama
gamas. Yep, Obama goggles.
Obama
goggles.
So.
Obama gamas.
Obama gamas.
No, I get it. When I struggle with revisiting Broad City sometimes because it puts me into a place that I'm like, you don't even know what's to come.
You don't even know what's to come. But that's kind of like, it's what, like the beauty of life is that you don't even know what's to come.
It is beautiful.
And yeah.
So can I hold your finger while we?
No. Or you got you. I have my hand out.
And I tap your finger and I say, until next time.
Go touch grass.
Wow. We did it.
That was a HeadGum podcast.